This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Black holes, the cosmos, space and time travel, science and technology, brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science, and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku,
at GCNlive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. In this hour, we're going to talk about the legacy of my colleague, Stephen Hawking. You know, after Stephen Hawking passed away, there were a number of interviews talking about his personal life, about his struggle with ALS, about his struggle to do physics. However, very rarely did an interview talk about his science. Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. Not just the legacy of the man, but the legacy of his work on black holes and the creation of the universe itself. Well, we have with us today a special guest. Once again, we have with us Dr. Ken Croswell, an astronomer at Berkeley, author of a number of great books, including Alchemy of the Heavens. I especially liked his book, The Universe at Midnight. He's also the author of Magnificent Mars, Magnificent Universe. And we're going to talk to him about Stephen Hawking's astronomical contributions to science today. But first, let me say thank you for all the people that showed up for my national book tour. My latest book, The Future of Humanity, hit the New York Times bestseller list. So thank you so much for all the help you've been giving me. Well, as I said before, today we have with us Dr. Ken Croswell, author of The Alchemy of the Heavens, and we're going to talk today about black holes and the creation of the universe, two areas where Stephen Hawking made an indelible mark in the scientific literature. First of all, we should say that not since Einstein have we had a figure, a towering figure, that made fundamental contributions to physics, but also engage the public. And some people wonder, well, why is that? Why did a theoretical physicist capture the public's imagination? Well, in my personal opinion, I think that both Einstein and Stephen Hawking were, in some sense, messengers from the stars. You know, we dream about stars. Stars are in our dreams. Every night when we look in the night sky, we're overwhelmed by the splendor and the majesty of the starry heavens, and we begin to wonder, what does it all mean? Where did it come from? Where is it going? How do we make sense of this? Well, here was Einstein, here was Stephen Hawking saying, take my hand and I'll give you a guided tour through the universe. And so once again, with us today, Dr. Ken Croswell, talking about the scientific legacy of my colleague, Stephen Hawking. So, Ken, first question for you is, how did we first know about black holes? I understand that as soon as Einstein came out with relativity, already people were zeroing in on black holes. So explain to us a little about the prehistory of black holes.
Sure thing. Black holes, as you say, are predicted by Einstein's general theory of relativity, but it took us astronomers quite a while to actually find them in space. Now, I should define what a black hole is, of course, just so everyone's on the same page here. A black hole is an object in space that has such intense gravity that nothing can escape from it, not even light, the fastest thing in the universe. And black holes form when massive stars die and explode and then implode. The outer layers of the star go off into space at very high speed, and then the inner part of the star collapses into a black hole with such enormous surface gravity that nothing can escape it. And the very first black hole that we astronomers discovered is the constellation Cygnus, and it's called Cygnus X1 because it's the first X-ray source discovered in Cygnus. That means this object emits X-rays. So that tips us off that there was something unusual about this object in Cygnus, because normal stars don't emit a whole lot of X-rays. This object was. And upon further investigation, we discovered that this object consisted of a bright blue star, massive star, much more massive than the sun, going around something dark, something that nobody could see. And through additional observations, we discovered that that dark object had so much mass that it must be a black hole. Now, it took a long time for us to absolutely be certain of this. And since you've mentioned Stephen Hawking, I should tell you that Stephen Hawking actually bet another physicist by the name of Kip Thorne that Cygnus X-1 did not contain a black hole. And Stephen Hawking actually ended up losing that bet because now it's almost definite that Cygnus X-1 contains a black hole. We think an object is a black hole if it's not emitting any light and it's got a mass greater than 3 times that of the sun. And the latest observations of Cygnus X-1 indicate that it's 15 times the mass of the sun. So there's really no doubt anymore that Cygnus X-1 is a system that contains a black hole. And in the 1990s, Stephen Hawking paid his bet to Kip Thorne. The agreement was that he would give Kip Thorne a subscription to that well-known scientific journal, Penthouse.
Okay. And I remember back in the 1960s, there was all this controversy about quasars, quasi-stellar objects. They seemed to be gigantic stars that seemed to light up the heavens, but other people said, no, they're very distant and very powerful. So what is a quasar, and what is our present-day understanding of quasars?
Quasars are indeed very, very distant, and they are powered by black holes. Now, the type of black hole I just mentioned, Cygnus X-1, is what's called a stellar mass black hole. It has only about 15 times the mass of the sun. But we now know that most of the giant galaxies of the universe, including our Milky Way, have at their centers supermassive black holes that may be millions or even billions of times the mass of the sun. And it's these big black holes, these supermassive black holes that power quasars, because you have material falling into the black hole, the supermassive black hole at a galaxy center. Some of that material goes in, but before it goes in, it gets heated to enormous temperatures, very high temperatures, and anything that's very hot is going to radiate enormous quantities of light. And as a result, quasars are the brightest objects in the universe because of these big black holes. It sounds like a contradiction, actually, that something that emits no light, namely a big black hole, actually powers the brightest objects in the universe, these quasars. But that's the current thinking about quasars. You're absolutely right. In the 1960s, they were much more controversial. There were some people claiming, oh, no, they can't be that powerful. That just goes way beyond known physics. Well, if you've got a supermassive black hole on your side, you can do quite a lot of impressive things.
Okay, now, black holes are so bizarre, so crazy, that I understand that back in 1916, when the first black hole solution was found in Einstein's equations, Einstein himself could not get his head around black holes, right?
Well, that's my understanding, too, that, in fact, a number of people really didn't like the idea that nature could create these objects that were essentially cut off from the rest of the universe. Because, you know, think about it. You could go right now to the planet Mars if you had a good enough rocket ship, and you could report back what you find on the planet Mars. Or you could go to Alpha Centauri, or you could go to some other star and tell us what you find. But if you go into a black hole and try to tell us what you find, well, you're not going to succeed because your radio signals, which travel at the speed of light, will not make it out of the black hole. And that's, of course, even assuming you survive the trip. It's unlikely you would survive a trip into a black hole. But the point is, black holes are really not in contact with the rest of the universe. And that really offended the sensibilities of some scientists.
Okay, let's say tonight you go outside and you try to look in the direction of these things. After the break, we'll talk about, well, is it possible that you can go out and see a black hole tonight? Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic. Give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135, and perhaps you can get on Science Fantastic.
checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Over the last 4 years, three of the biggest online precious metal dealers have gone bankrupt and their owners put in prison due to theft and fraud. Having previously purchased precious metals, can you be sure you purchased the right product? Did you receive proper advice? Or were you stung by one of these companies? Miles Franklin has been in business for 29 years without receiving any material customer or regulatory complaints ever. Maintaining an A-plus Better Business Bureau rating and residing in Minnesota, the only state in America that regulates the precious metals industry, making doing business in precious metals with Miles Franklin the safest choice, bar none. Call us at 866-485-4346 and let us review your portfolio at no commitment whatsoever. Again, that's 866-485-4346. Get the peace of mind you deserve in working with a precious metals company with a reputation like Miles Franklin. Again, that's 866-485-4346. Miles Franklin Precious Metals, the name you can trust.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. In this hour, we're talking not just about the personal life and the personal legacy of Stephen Hawking. We're talking about his scientific contributions. There's been so much written about his affliction with ALS and his struggle to become one of the world's leading scientists, but very little has been talked about his scientific accomplishments in the media. Well, with us today is astronomer Ken Croswell, author of a number of great books, including Alchemy of the Heavens, and he's an astronomer in Berkeley, and we're going to talk to him about, well, how do you go about looking for black holes? So, Ken, let's say you go outside, and you mentioned that there are galactic black holes at the center of the Milky Way galaxy. Well, first of all, if you were to go outside and look at the night sky, in which direction would you look if you want to see the center of the Milky Way galaxy, where by rights there should be a fireball?
Well, you would look at the constellation Sagittarius, which is visible best in the summer sky, in the southern part of the southern the summer sky. The constellation Sagittarius is a constellation I talk about in my book, See the Stars. It looks like a teapot, consists of eight stars, and near the spout of that teapot is Sagittarius A star, which is the supermassive black hole at the center of our galaxy. This is the object about which everything else in our galaxy goes around. So the sun right now is traveling at very high speed around the galaxy, and it's going around this supermassive black hole, and so are all the other stars that you see with the naked eye at night. This supermassive black hole is 4 million times as massive as the sun and lies 27,000 light years from Earth. So we are in no danger whatsoever of falling into the black hole. However, there are lots of black holes, there are lots of stars located within just one light year of the black hole, and some of them are in danger of falling eventually into the black hole. And surely in the past, our black hole, the big black hole at the center of our Milky Way, has swallowed other stars. But the short answer to your question is, if you want to see the direction in which this black hole lies, you can just look for the constellation Sagittarius.
Now, we've all seen pictures of galaxies like Andromeda, for example, the nearest galaxy. These sort of look like flying saucers with a bulge in the middle. However, when you look in the direction of Sagittarius, what do you see? Nothing. Blackness. Why don't we see this fireball at the center of the Milky Way galaxy where lurks a gigantic, monstrous black hole? Why can't we see this gigantic fireball lighting up the night sky like the moon?
Well, the supermassive black hole, Sagittarius A star, is fairly quiet right now. Nothing much has been falling into it, and so it's not really doing much at the moment. I have no doubt that at times past, it was much more brilliant. Now, what we ought to be able to see in principle are all those stars around the black hole, because there are probably millions of stars. In fact, there are millions of stars located very close to that black hole. Unfortunately, we cannot easily see them because of all the dust in our galaxy. There's a lot of dust in our galaxy, and that dust blocks the light of those stars. So the black hole itself, we wouldn't be able to see even without the dust, but the stars, they have their light absorbed by the dust. So astronomers tend to observe them at infrared wavelengths, which penetrate the dust in our galaxy.
Okay, well, these things are so fantastic. Black holes are so incredible that Einstein couldn't get his head around it, and he even wrote a paper proving they couldn't exist. He showed that, according to current theory, if I have a swirling mass of gas where stars come from, is not sufficient to squeeze the gas to the point where it becomes a black hole. However, later, people like Robert Oppenheimer, who created the atomic bomb, found a new way to create a black hole implosion. So explain to us the difference between Einstein's original idea, which was incorrect, that a swirling bunch of gas is not sufficient to create a black hole, with the modern-day understanding, pioneered by Oppenheimer, who created the atomic bomb, of an implosion mechanism, which Einstein never considered. Could you elaborate?
Yes, the modern view is that when a massive star dies, the outer layers explode. I mean, they shoot off into space, but the inner part of the star collapses and, as you say, implodes and gets compressed to enormous density. In fact, if you take Einstein's equations literally, the object actually becomes infinitely dense. And so that's how we think that actual black holes in space arise. When a massive star dies and its center collapses and gets compressed into a super dense object whose surface gravity is so enormous that nothing, not even light, can escape from it.
And then the question is, well, if it takes an implosion mechanism to create a black hole, what about our sun? Our sun is not going to explode like these giant stars. So does this mean, therefore, that our sun is not going to become a black hole?
Exactly. Our sun is safe from becoming a black hole. It will instead someday die by becoming a white dwarf, which is also a dense sort of star, but not nearly as dense as a black hole. If you were on the surface of a white dwarf star, you could easily escape from it.
Okay, now let me ask you the question that every child asks when they visit the planetarium, and that is, what happens if you were to gradually approach and then fall into a black hole? Heaven forbid. What's going to happen? Is your body going to be ripped apart? What happens if you slowly approach a black hole and begin to perhaps fall in?
Well, you will get stretched out by the tidal forces. For example, if your feet are facing the black hole and your head is facing away from the black hole, the gravity black hole will tug much more much harder on your feet than on your head. And if you get too close to that black hole, it will unfortunately spaghettify you. In other words, turn you into a long string of spaghetti. So I advise anyone listening not to get too close to a black hole.
Okay, now also as you get closer and closer to the black hole, you find a sphere called the event horizon. We think the sphere is going to be basically black, but can you explain how big is this thing? What is an event horizon and why is the event horizon so much studied?
Well, the event horizon is the point of no return. You pass through the event horizon and unfortunately you're not coming back to the rest of us to tell us what you have found. So you definitely want to stay outside the event horizon. Once you pass through that, you're not coming back.
Okay. In fact, there's a movie, Interstellar, and Kip Thorne, who recently won the Nobel Prize for gravity waves, was one of the consultants. And that movie was interesting because it had no Hollywood special effects. The so-called special effects as you approach the black hole were done by computers, a computer simulation of what happens if you get closer and closer to the black hole. However, I think Kip Thorne took a few liberties because he then went into what happens if you fall through the event horizon. So isn't it true that we physicists are a little bit fuzzy about what happens if you actually pass through the point of no return?
Well, certainly. I mean, these are things that no one has ever done, and who knows what actually happens. Often our theories prove to be in need of revision when we, for example, send a spacecraft to another planet. So, yes, in order to know for sure, there's probably only one way to do it, and that is you have to visit a black hole yourself. But again, I'm not sure it's something I would personally want to do.
And also, don't you get vast distortions of time as well as you get closer and closer to the event horizon and someone's photographing you from a distance, looking at you, time slows down, right? And so as you approach the event horizon, you look like you're frozen in time. Explain that.
Yes, in fact, there's even a book that came out in the 1980s about black holes, and it's entitled Frozen Star, because from afar, what you say is absolutely right. An observer watching someone fall into a black hole would actually see that person who's falling in never actually reach the surface of the event horizon. They would, because time is proceeding so much more slowly for the person outside the black hole, well outside the black hole, than for the person falling in. And, of course, these are all effects of relativity.
Okay, now, people say that in order to clinch it, we have to photograph the event horizon. That seems impossible. However, recently, scientists have lashed together several radio telescopes and zeroed in on the black hole at the center of our own galaxy, our own backyard. And they claim that one day we'll be able to have a close-up snapshot of the black hole. This is amazing. Well, let's take a short commercial break. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call at 612-564-8135 and maybe you can get on national radio. Stay tuned.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Message and data rates may apply.
Remembering when to change your fridge filter is a hassle. Remembering the right filter is almost impossible. So at Filters Fast, we have some good advice. Forget it. Instead, remember this. Text BEST 33 to 443-443 and check fridge filters off your to-do list forever. Get it all taken care of for a fraction of big box store prices with a Filters Fast brand filter. To see how much you can save, plus get free shipping, text BEST 33 to 443-443. With a huge range of brand name filters available, Filters Fast is America's number one online filtration company. And you can get a Filters Fast brand filter for a fraction of the price, delivered to your door every time you need it. No need to remember. It's not a matter of if you need a fridge filter. Why not text to get it taken care of? To see how much you can save and get free shipping, text BEST 33 to 443-443. That's BEST 33 to 443-443.
Hi there, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and we're looking in this time of terrible financial crash, terrible meltdown of the medical system, we're looking to pay people obscene amounts of money if you become a student of our business at Youngevity. We will help you actually take care of people better than the medical system has. Think about it. We spend more money in America for healthcare than all the other 218 nations the world put together, and they can't even solve weight loss problems. I mean, the medical system can have a total mental brain fart, and if you do this, you will be able to save an enormous amount of people from being overweight, being obese. They don't even know what causes obesity. Believe me, we know what causes obesity. In the medical system, they think it's from eating too much. It's not from eating too much. It's actually a mineral deficiency. Do you solve a iron deficiency anemia with a bone marrow transplant? That's what they think. Do you solve a mineral deficiency that causes obesity with a gastric bypass? That's dumber than a stump. Contact us at GCNminerals.com. Learn how to lose weight, look good, and save yourselves a gob of money.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are things many of us take for granted. But for many adults with disabilities who are elderly or have serious medical issues, dental care is simply unaffordable. Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. DLN is asking dentists and their teams to volunteer to just see one of the many patients in need. You can literally change a life. When you volunteer with DLN's donated dental services program to C1, you treat a pre-qualified patient in your office at your convenience. We handle the details so you can focus on the care. Lack of dental care can lead to the inability to have life-saving surgery, eat, or contribute to our community. If you are a dentist or know a dentist, please share this message. Will you see one? Visit willyouseeone.org to help change one life in your community today.
This is Science Fantastic.
Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, our special guest is Dr. Ken Croswell, astronomer from Berkeley, author of a number of great books, including Alchemy of the Heavens. And we're talking not about the personal legacy of Stephen Hawking, but we're talking about his scientific legacy in two areas, black hole physics and also the Big Bang. Where we last left off, we were talking about the possibility of one day photographing the event horizon of this monstrous black hole lurking at the very center of the Milky Way galaxy. Now, at first you may say to yourself, well, that's impossible. I mean, that black hole is thousands of light years away. And it's not very big on a cosmic scale, but apparently scientists believe that we can lash together several smaller radio telescopes to get a composite telescope that is capable of photographing the black hole. So could you tell us a little bit about how it's done, how you lash together these radio telescopes to actually even contemplate photographing the black hole at the center of our galaxy?
Yes, it's very nice in radio astronomy. Radio astronomers are able to link up separate radio telescopes into what's called an interferometer, which allows a much sharper resolution than any individual radio telescope does. And in fact, a few years ago, radio astronomers used such an array to measure the distance from the very first black hole ever found, Cygnus X1. And it turns out that that black hole is a bit more than 6,000 light years away. And we know that because of the precision of the radio observation. And in like fashion, a radio interferometer can also resolve very, very superbly the black hole at the center of the Milky Way, Sagittarius A star, which is located 27,000 light years from Earth. And so in that way, we can hope that we'll be able to detect the event horizon. And of course, there are lots of stars around that black hole, so they presumably will provide the light and enough contrast with the event horizon. And by the way, there's another supermassive black hole that might also get its image taken. It's in a giant elliptical galaxy called M87. And that galaxy is located 54 million light years from Earth. And you may say, whoa, that's 2,000 times farther than our supermassive black hole. Well, yes, it is. But that black hole happens to be about 2,000 times bigger, 2,000 times more massive than the black hole at the center of the Milky Way. So if we can actually successfully image the black hole at the center of our galaxy, we might want to then turn our attention to this big black hole at the center of the galaxy, M87, because they should be about equally difficult to observe.
Now, the resolution power of a radio telescope is related to its size. The bigger the radio telescope, the more radio waves it picks up, the better the resolution of the picture. But by lashing these radio telescopes together at distant points on the Earth, they tell me that you get an effective radio telescope the size of the planet Earth. And you can't get much bigger than that, right? So isn't that amazing that it's possible by lashing these telescopes together that we can create an effective telescope the size of the planet Earth itself? Isn't that amazing?
It is, yes. And as I say, that's how we measure the distance to Cygnus X1, the first black hole, even though it's very far away, much farther away than we normally measure distances to stars. So, yes, radio astronomers are very lucky that they're able to do that. And the reason they're able to do that is because radio waves are fairly long. They're not nearly as microscopic as light waves. So radio astronomers have that luxury to lash their telescopes together and create interferometers.
Okay, well, let's take another short commercial break. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. In this hour with Ken Croswell, we're talking about the scientific legacy of Stephen Hawking. And if you want to be on Science Fantastic, give us a call, 612-564-8135.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
See why our homegrown owned small business at sunny-bay.com has tried to help people just like you. Get your Sunny Bay heating pads at sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com or call 253-678-1361. For hot and cold therapy, sunny-bay.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Hey, this is Ricky from Banyan Hill. You like freedom? I do. You like money? I do too. If you like freedom and money, then you're going to love Freedom Checks. You see, over the next few months, an estimated $34.6 billion is up for grabs to anyone who stakes their claim. Yep, you heard that right. $34.6 billion. To get all the details, just go to www.AmericanFreedomChecks.com. Thousands of people are already lined up to cash in. Take Doug, for example. He's a 46-year-old from Joplin, Missouri, who's set to get a check for $24,075. And if Doug can do this, I've got a hunch that you can, too. But here's the thing. If you want the chance to grab your full fair share of this $34.6 billion payout, you must have your ducks in a row by May 1st. So don't wait. Get over to www.AmericanFreedomChecks.com before May 1st. That's www.AmericanFreedomChecks.com.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, our special guest today is Dr. Ken Croswell, astronomer from Berkeley, author of a delightful book, The Alchemy of the Heavens. And once again, I'm going to say thank you for all the people that showed up for the book tour. We averaged about 300 to 400 people per event. We had 1,200 people in Menlo Park, California. And as a consequence, the book, The Future of Humanity, went on to the New York Times bestseller list. It's a book about space travel, about what happens when we go back to the moon starting next year, on to Mars, and perhaps even beyond Mars to the solar system, and perhaps even beyond that. So find out about The Future of Humanity, my latest New York Times bestseller. But once again, in this hour, we're talking about the scientific legacy of my colleague, Stephen Hawking. And we talked about gigantic radio telescopes that can, for the first time now, begin to have a snapshot of the event horizon of the black hole lurking at the center of the Milky Way galaxy. This is incredible. And then the next question is, well, what does it look like? Well, it's probably going to be a sphere, but it's probably going to be black. And so I think some people may be a little bit disappointed that it's not explosive, that it looks basically like a black sphere. But, well, what are your thoughts about what we're going to find?
Well, I think that's right. I mean, we're not going to see anything explosive. This is a very quiet black hole. It's been a little bit of a mystery to astronomers why it is so quiet, given that there are so many stars around that black hole and so close to the black hole. And, of course, they're losing gas. And you would think a big black hole, Sagittarius A star, would be taking in some of that gas, and that heats things up, and it would be a little more active than it is. But nonetheless, in times past, I'm sure it was a lot more active. But in terms of what we are actually going to see with this imaging, I think your description is correct. We will see something that maybe won't impress that many people, but you have to realize what we're seeing here. This is the biggest black hole in the Milky Way galaxy. That's quite an impressive image when we can get it.
Now, what Stephen Hawking showed was that perhaps black holes are not totally black. Perhaps they gently seep out radiation called Hawking radiation, because you have quantum mechanics. That is, you have the uncertainty principle involved. And so you get a certain amount of leakage from a black hole. But Hawking radiation, isn't it very faint? Isn't it very difficult to pick up? And some people suspect maybe that's why he didn't win the Nobel Prize. But tell us a little bit about Hawking radiation. It's pretty faint, right?
Yes. Extremely faint, and in real black holes that we know of, it's probably undetectable. And so the thought was, well, maybe you could detect Hawking radiation from very small black holes. If, for example, at the beginning of the universe, small regions of the universe collapsed to form black holes that only have maybe the mass of an asteroid, because the Hawking's theory predicts that this Hawking radiation should be much more profuse with a smaller black hole. And so the hope was back in the 70s that maybe these mini black holes formed and we could detect gamma rays as they evaporate, because as these very small black holes lose mass by Hawking radiation, eventually they will completely run out of gas and completely vanish and emit a gamma radiation. But unfortunately, that Hawking radiation has never been seen. So I think a lot of people probably think that these mini black holes don't exist. And as far as the big black holes, you know, things like Cygnus X1 and Sagittarius A star, they are surely taking in far more mass than they are losing by Hawking radiation. So they are growing bigger with time rather than smaller.
And every physicist I know believes in Hawking radiation, because if we didn't find Hawking radiation, then quantum mechanics cannot be applied to black holes, and most of modern physics would collapse, which is horrendous. So in some sense, Hawking radiation has to exist, because if it didn't exist, we wouldn't be able to apply quantum mechanics to black holes. But because it's so faint, perhaps that's the reason why he never won the Nobel Prize. Well, here's another question for you. We talked about small black holes, and there's also the possibility that you can have wandering black holes that sneak up on you, and NASA actually tracks some of them. So after the break, I'll ask you a few questions about, is it possible that a black hole can sneak up on you, and you'd never know. Once again, this is Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Stay tuned as we continue a discussion of black holes and the creation of the universe.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Would it be okay if you had two paychecks instead of one? I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you how to get an extra paycheck every month, creating an extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105 for a recorded message.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Tired of being censored by Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Patreon? Well, now you don't have to be. OneWay.com is the free speech and human-friendly social network built just for you. Stop feeding the beast. Every post you make on those evil, anti-human, anti-American perverted sites helps them destroy our families, our country, and our souls. Join OneWay today and take back your liberty. Your free speech alternative is waiting for you at OneWay.com. OneWay.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. With us today is astronomer Ken Croswell of Berkeley, author of a number of great books, including Alchemy of the Heavens. And we're talking today about the legacy of Stephen Hawking, not his personal legacy, his personal triumph over ALS disease, but his scientific contributions to physics. And we talked about black holes and the fact that some black holes are actually wandering. As you look in the night sky, you see the distortion of starlight as some invisible object moves in front of the star, warping the light behind it. And that's how, even though you can't see the black hole itself, you can see the outlines of the black hole as it moves across the night sky. So the question is, what happens if one day we are caught flat-footed, caught off guard, if there's a wandering black hole next to us? So tell us, this black hole, if it's wandering, has the mass of a giant star. It could literally start to make the planets in our solar system wobble and perhaps even fling them into outer space, right?
It would be very bad news, but before I describe what's about to happen, understand this is extremely unlikely to occur because black holes are actually quite rare. Ordinary stars are much more common, and we don't see ordinary stars intruding into the solar system. The stars are very widely separated in our part of the galaxy. But let's imagine, hypothetically, there's a black hole that's heading our way. That's got, let's say, 15 solar masses, similar to Cygnus X-1, the very first black hole ever found. What would happen? Well, at first, I presume this black hole would start disturbing the comet in the Oort cloud, far beyond the orbit of the planet Neptune and Pluto, and would start stirring up those comets and start sending some of those comets our way. So we would start suffering catastrophic impacts from comets. And then, as you say, as the black hole approaches closer, it would start disturbing the orbits of the planets themselves and could easily fling some of the planets out into interstellar space. And, of course, we could be one of the planets flung out into the cold. Or, what might be even worse, we could be flung into the sun. Or, at the very least, probably the Earth's orbit would no longer be as circular as it is now and would become much more elliptical, in which case the seasons on Earth would be much more extreme and much more unpleasant. It would go from being very cold to very hot as the Earth went around the sun. So a lot of very bad things would occur if a big black hole were to enter our solar system. But again, it is very, very unlikely that this is ever going to happen because even ordinary stars don't enter the solar system, and they are much more common than black holes are. The difference, of course, is, as you point out, with a black hole, we can't really see it coming, whereas with a star, even a faint star, we can see it coming.
Right. And as you correctly point out, a collision with one of these things is extremely rare, but we track them. In fact, several are being tracked even as we speak. And yeah, they're not connected to any one particular location in the galaxy. Some of them are not even in the galactic plane. But yeah, it's something that we should think about, but not lose any sleep over. Well, now let's move on to the Big Bang, because Stephen Hawking also made contributions there, even though, of course, it's still mysterious as to the energy source of the Big Bang. But tell us a little bit about inflation. Inflation has pretty much changed the landscape, right? Forced us to contemplate perhaps multiple Big Bangs. Tell us a little about what is inflation and why has it changed our attitude towards the Big Bang?
Well, the Big Bang is the great explosion that occurred 13.8 billion years ago and that gave birth to our universe. And we now realize that just a split second after the Big Bang, the universe inflated enormously. And this so-called inflation solves a number of cosmological problems. For example, it solves the flatness problem. Our universe is, as far as we can tell, perfectly flat, by which I mean that geometry in the universe is Euclidean. It's not curved one way or the other. And inflation solves that problem by puffing up the universe so enormously that even if the universe had some initial curvature, it becomes essentially flat after inflation. So that's one problem that inflation solves. Another problem that inflation solves is called the horizon problem, which is, you know, why is it that when we look in one direction in the universe and then we look in exactly the opposite direction in the universe, they have the same temperature? I mean, if you think about it, they're separated by over 20 billion light years. They can't have been in contact unless you had inflation. Inflation would have puffed up regions that were originally in contact to enormous dimensions. So even though those two different parts of the universe are right now separated by 20 billion light years, prior to inflation, they were in contact and could share information, in a sense, and have similar properties. So that today, even though we see them very far apart and we see that they have similar properties, there's a reason they have those similar properties. That's because prior to inflation, they were close together. And then after inflation, they were hurled very, very far apart.
Now, inflation was proposed by my colleague Alan Guth of MIT, who may eventually win the Nobel Prize for the inflation theory. So I asked him on radio, if the Big Bang was a quantum event, isn't there a certain probability that it could happen again and again and again? And he said, yeah, it means that there could be multiple universes out there, that even as we speak, Big Bangs could be happening all the time. So doesn't that change our viewpoint of the universe, that our universe could be incredibly bigger than we originally thought, and there could be whole regions of the universe where Big Bangs are taking place even as we speak? This is mind-boggling stuff, right?
Yes, well, as long as you have the laws of physics, which permit quantum fluctuation. Normally, quantum fluctuations are very small, but if you wait a long enough time, you could conceivably give birth to another Big Bang and a whole other universe.
Well, unfortunately, our time is up. Once again, you've been listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Our special guest today was Dr. Ken Croswell, astronomer of Berkeley, author of Alchemy of the Heavens. And once again, you can get on Science Fantastic. Give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters of the radio station, and the city you're calling from, and maybe you can get on national radio. And go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org. And you may want to check out my latest book. It's called The Future of Humanity, now a New York Times bestseller, talking about our future in...
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, $1,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.